Chapter 2.
This is my life now. I accept it. And there are some very nice things about being a bird. Some very nice things. Well fed and full of energy, I flapped across the meadow, gaining altitude the hard way, with sheer muscle power. I swept above the trees and fought my way higher still, out beyond my own territory, higher and higher. And then I felt the air billowing up beneath me. A beautiful thermal, a pillar of warm air that rose up from the ground as it was heated by the sun. I swept into that warm air, and it lifted me up like an elevator. I turned and turned within that warm current, twisting higher and higher till I was nothing but a speck to the tiny humans on the ground. Up and up, till the only sound was the wind ruffling across my feathers. I caught a glimpse back down behind me. A glimpse of a strange creature that looked like a blue deer at first, until you saw the head with its extra stalk eyes mounted on top, and the slashing scorpion tail. Eximile Escaruth Isthel, the only andalite alive on Earth. My friend, or as much of a friend as you can be when one of you is a bird boy and the other is an alien. Axeman! I called down. He kept running. That's how he eats. He runs across grass and leaves, and the crushed vegetation is absorbed up through his hooves. Tobias! Out hunting? Nope, I had breakfast. See you later! I flapped and glided and soared till I was over houses. They were just little squares of gray and orange and brown roofs. Tiny swimming pools glittered an unnatural blue. I saw trimmed green lawns and parked rectangles of cars and roads with dotted white lines down the middle. I flew on, across the homes, across the roads, to the school. Maybe it was because of the picture in the magazine. Maybe that's why I wanted to go there. It was late morning now. The light was sharp and clean. I could see through the windows of the classrooms. There was Jake, unofficial leader of the Animorphs, looking like any normal guy. He was lounging at his desk, feet stuck out in front. He was sleepy and trying to keep his eyes open. More than any other person alive, Jake held the future of the human race in his hands. Strange to think, huh? That some big, sleepy kid in sneakers and a jacket was the leader of the only resistance to the Yerk invasion of Earth? As I watched, he nodded twice and slumped. The girl sitting behind him leaned forward and gave him a gentle poke in the shoulder. That was Cassie, another member of our little group. Cassie has never met an animal she didn't like, and she's never met a fashion she cared about. She's small, compact, but strong-looking. Not like she's muscular. More like she's part of something bigger than herself. Like she's some living extension of the Earth. Anyway, that's how I see her. Like some gentle soldier in the service of nature itself. Corny, isn't it? Sorry, but I have a lot of time to think. And I guess that makes me get too serious sometimes. I swept by, high above, and turned the corner. In another classroom, I spotted Marco. He was talking. This was not a surprise. The class began to laugh. The teacher laughed, too, then looked exasperated, like she didn't want to laugh. This was also not a surprise. That's Marco. The boy loves to be the center of attention. It took a while before I spotted the last human member of the Animorphs. She wasn't in her usual classroom. In fact, I spotted her first in just a brief glimpse, walking down the hall. Then she stepped outside, out into the empty quad that separated the main building from the gym and the temporary buildings. She stepped out into the sunlight, and her blonde hair became a flame of pure gold. Rachel. Have you ever known a person who seems to walk through life with her own private spotlight shining on her? That's Rachel.
Hi,
I said in thought speak.
What are you doing?
Skipping school. She couldn't answer. See, you can only do thought speak when you're an Animorph, or if you happen to be an Andalite. Although you can hear it just fine. Rachel stopped walking and shielded her eyes with her hand, scanning the sky for me. Then she gave just the smallest wave, just a twinkling of two fingers. She jerked her head toward the gym. That's where she was going. She opened her binder and revealed a piece of yellow notepaper clipped inside. Ah, so she was delivering a note for some teacher. But Rachel must have forgotten that I can see things no human could ever see. Beneath the note was a fancy-looking sheet of stationery. It was a letter addressed to Rachel. It read, "Congratulations! You have been named a Packard Foundation Outstanding Student." I was about to add my own congratulations when I noticed the date. There was to be an award ceremony Monday. This was Friday. It was the kind of thing Rachel would have invited everyone to. Everyone but me. I can't exactly go to things like award ceremonies. Rachel hadn't even told me about it. And I knew why. "Hey, I have something to show you after school," I said, trying to sound perky. "My Yerk Pool mapping project is paying off. Want to go for a fly after last period?" I saw her smile. She nodded her head again, just a slight movement no one else would notice. "Cool," I said. I soared away, and she walked on to the gym. There are definitely some nice things about being a hawk, and flying with Rachel is probably the nicest. But it would have been nice to see her get the Packard Award, too. Sometimes I asked myself if I had to do it all over again, if I could never become Tobias the Hawk and only be Tobias the Boy, would I actually do it? I didn't think about that often, though. Maybe I didn't want to find out the answer.